Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What Is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show where we are making this world a polite place to live, one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from acts of kindness to handling pet peeves. If you are listening live, call 347-324-3295. And here are your hosts, HR and customer service expert, Miss Denise, an etiquette and image expert, speaker and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Today is Sunday, February 24, 2013, and we are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. This evening's topic is back by popular demand, pet peeves. Yes, so go ahead and begin thinking about what peeves you, and you can feel free to share that with us this evening. But first of all, since the name of our show is What is Etiquette Anyway?, we want to answer that question. After all, our audience is made up of listeners of all ages, and many of you listeners are joining us for the very first time. We want to welcome you to the What is Etiquette Anyway family. Etiquette is simply a little technical difficulty. Are we're good now? Okay, great. Etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket and later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court, and these rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. And we certainly thank Charles I and II for that. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about the origin of pet peeve. Of course, the term originated from the word peeve. Its first usage was in 1919. The term is a back formation from the 14th century word peevish, meaning ornery or ill-tempered. Now, a pet peeve is a minor annoyance that an individual identifies as particularly annoying to them to a greater degree than others may find it. Some examples may be, let's say, poor table manners, smoking, grammatical errors in written passages, could be inconsiderate driving, lazy coworkers, loud gum smacking, talking loud on the cell phone, and the list goes on and on. And I'm sure that you out there listening certainly have a list of your own. Well, once again, pet peeves, that brings us to the pet peeve of the evening, bathroom etiquette. And our first guest is no stranger to our show, Dr. Tom Keating with Project Clean, who continues to work tirelessly on his number one pet peeve, deplorable school bathrooms. And he's been with us several times over the years, and we certainly like to check in with him periodically to find out what is going on with his mission. Dr. Tom, are you there?
Yes, Donna, I am here, and I'm delighted to be here with another special guest. So it's wonderful to be back on Blog Radio with you and your co-host.
Wonderful. We always look forward. We know we're going to have an exciting show with you. And also, our second guest is a special guest. His name is Dr. Steve Hodges. He's an MD board-certified pediatric urologist and the Associate Professor of Pediatric Urology at Wake Forest University School of Medicine. And he will discuss this evening breakthrough solutions to bedwetting, potty problems for youngsters, and restroom issues for teenagers in middle and high school. So that pretty much covers the gamut for our children. He is also in town to speak, and we'll let him give you the details about this event prior to us completing the show. So I'd like to say, Dr. Hodges, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, it is a pleasure. Welcome to Atlanta, and certainly welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway? Dr. Tom, of course, you know generally when we send out our e-blast, what happens is we automatically begin getting emails or messages. So I just want to open with this particular one, Tom. It says, hello, etiquette lady. Thanks for your show. Dr. Tom, I've heard you speak on this show before about school bathrooms. In order to try to get the bathrooms in my children's school to be in better shape, would it be better to form a parent group panel or a children's panel? Which do you think would make the greatest impact for change? And this comes from Lottie Davis in Milwaukee.
I wish I knew what grade her child was in, but in general, it's best to have a committee of 5 to 7 people, a couple of parents, maybe 3, a custodian or janitor, 1 or 2 students of the upper grades, perhaps 1 teacher. And so I would say as a rule of thumb, there should be a mixed group of stakeholders.
Great. So Lottie, if you're listening out there, that is the answer to that. And of course, Dr. Tom, you can let them know, as many of our listeners do know and they have followed you, they know that it's not an easy task, and generally it's an ongoing task. But, you know, certainly you don't want to give up at all. You want to definitely stay the course. And for those persons who are listening for the first time, Tom, that are not familiar with you, can you just kind of tell them a little bit about yourself and what, you know, your major pet peeve is?
Well, I've been a teacher and educator for 42 years. The last 20, I've been working on improving school restrooms. And Project Clean is that effort. In the last year, I've had a chance to learn much more about the medical aspect and the related medical problems that come from potty training, urinary tract infections, and other early childhood difficulties from Dr. Steve Hodges and his wonderful book, It's No Accident, and his wonderful webpage, itsnoaccident.net. Most of my time, I am in Midland High Schools, working with students, working with teachers and parents, and trying to improve wellness, which ought to be done by making sure restrooms are safe, they're well stocked, and they are without any graffiti. So I guess I'm the bathroom guy who's been at it for now 20 years.
Okay. And Tom, I'm getting some feedback from your connection. I don't know if you're on speakerphone or not.
I'm not on speakerphone, and it may be because we have the two of us in the same room as you had suggested. So I don't know what's causing that.
Okay, but we certainly, you know, don't want to be deterred from hearing your information, though. So that's great. So you've been at this for 20 years. And what kind of keeps you going? What keeps you plugging ahead with this mission?
The students do, Donna, because when you meet a student who thinks you're first a little crazy, now you're still getting feedback, aren't you?
I am.
Let me see what happens with the feedback now.
Yeah, I can still hear it. Do you have, are you streaming as well at the same time?
No.
Okay.
The only thing I could think to do would be for me to hang up after this, and if you wanted to talk to me again, take the phone back from Steve. I can't think of anything else that's causing this. I don't know what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But what keeps me going is basically students who know and want, are starving for this, and the few caring adults who are working on this issue, like yourself, Dr. Hodges, several administrators, but not enough, and a few parents, but not enough.
Mm-hmm. It's just such a very important issue. And in case you all are just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are talking about one of the largest pet peeves, which is bathroom etiquette. And we're talking about the conditions at the moment of a lot of the school bathrooms in the public schools. And we're talking with Dr. Tom Keating. Dr. Hodges is with us as well. Welcome again, Dr. Hodges.
Thank you.
I want to definitely pull you into the conversation and just kind of get started with what some of your thoughts are on this particular topic.
Yeah, where our thoughts, where our kind of our fields come together, Dr. Tom and mine, is that people don't understand, I don't think, generally in the public health, bathroom access can be a health problem. You know, I like to make the comparison of not having a clean or safe bathrooms in school equivalent of not having wheelchair access or not having children with diabetes allowed insulin. I mean, it's a very important part of health, but it gets overlooked. You know, I have lots of kids in my clinic that have toileting issues partly or solely because they're either afraid to go to the bathroom at school, don't like to go to the bathroom at school because they're not clean or not allowed to go to the bathroom at school. And it's a shame to have a healthy child, you know, sent to go somewhere to learn and have that child become sick because of the bathrooms aren't either safe or accessible or clean. And so that's where our missions kind of collide. We both want to improve children's health, and one of our the way we go about that in this particular area is making sure they have access to clean, safe restrooms.
Yes, and a lot of the parents that may be listening perhaps for the first time and they have not actually heard us visit this particular topic before, they're probably scratching their head thinking, you know, that's not something they even talk about with the kids. So at this time, we want to let the parents know, certainly, ask your children about the condition of the bathrooms at the school. We have this is a message for you, Dr. Hodges. It says, "Hello, Etiquette Lady. Please ask the doctors what exactly is the correlation between elimination and behavior?" And this comes from Leonard Beard in Atlanta.
Well, you can look at that question. Yeah, question one of two ways. One is there's a known association between attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and elimination problems. We have a tenfold incidence of elimination disorders such as constipation or incontinence in children with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. But there's also a problem where, you know, what I see basically is you need for a child to learn from my perspective, and again, I'm not a teacher, I'm a physician, but you need to have their full attention. And if they're always concerned about when the next time, if they're about bathroom access and not focused on the class, it's difficult to have them go. And we have them learn. And, you know, we have this big dilemma where we need the children to learn. We have larger and larger class size, but we also need to have children to have access to the restroom. And it's a continual problem. And I think if we get more awareness that of the importance of regular elimination, then maybe the schools, the teachers, and the parents can come up with better and more novel solutions to make sure this happens. Because right now, basically, we have, you know, toileting breaks. And I'm from North Carolina, and North Carolina, a lot of the times there's actually punishment for when children go to the bathroom. You're getting your card is pulled if you go, and if you get it pulled too many times, you're punished. So we have this system set up to actually inhibit children going to the restroom. And so if you have a child that's not allowed to go to the restroom and maybe has to go, then how are they going to be comfortable enough to learn? And I don't think it's possible. And I think we need to make sure that they have free access and make sure they do go when they have the access instead of just waiting till they go home, because that's what I see all the time in my clinic, kids having accidents on the way home in the bus or running to the bathroom right when they get home because they haven't gone all day.
Right. Wow. Wow. So in other words, I'm sure the parents as well as the educators that are listening could be thinking, well, you know, my child does ask to go to the bathroom, and sometimes the teacher says, no, you can't go at this time. And so not only are we talking about that, but we're talking about the children who have to go to the bathroom, but they really don't want to go because the bathrooms are just You know, they're dirty. You know, they're deplorable. And you find many children will tell you, well, no, I didn't use the bathroom today because, you know, there was no tissue in there, or it was really dirty, or there was no door in the stall. So, I mean, how do we remedy this? And I know, Dr. Tom, I know you've been working at this for years and, you know, going into several of the schools. I mean, we do still currently see this activity. So,
well,
you know, what do we do?
One of the things you do is from age 4th grade through 12th, you do have to talk with your child. And the question I would ask is not how are the bathrooms. That's too general. What you ask your child or your teenager or your preteen is, when you went to the bathroom today, did you have tissue, soap, and towels? If you form the question that way and find out, Dad, I don't go to the bathroom, you have the real issue. If you go to visit your school for a play or a sports activity or a teacher conference, wander through the school with your spouse and look at the restroom, open stall doors, and see what the child is seeing and hearing and smelling. Don't just go to the front two bathrooms. And lastly, ask your school if the booster club or the PTA has a subcommittee on wellness or on bathrooms specifically. And if it doesn't, set one up.
Okay. And on that note, we are going to take a short break, and we will be back in just a minute.
What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show is sponsored by Pages Etiquette Seminars, LLC. Pages Etiquette Seminars provides both personal and professional development training for all ages and offers motivational and training materials such as What is Etiquette Anyway? By Donna Page Riley, a book about manners for children, but grown-ups can read it too. This book covers introductions, writing thank yous, table and telephone manners, and much more. In addition, the book What is Executive Etiquette Anyway? Key ingredients for building successful working relationships. Some of its contents include how to master the art of networking, business over lunch, and how to impress your interviewer, only to name a few. Pages Etiquette Seminars at www.pagesetiquette.com, www.pagesetiquette.com. Do you have children under 18? Do you rent or own your home? How much money do you have saved for retirement? How do you plan to support yourself when you retire? What would you and your family do if a loved one died without a will or insurance? If you are not sure, you need to consult with Bowden Financial Group. Larry E. Bowden has over 20 years' experience in the insurance and financial service industry. He holds a BS degree from Morris Brown College in Business Administration and maintains a Georgia State Insurance license. He is a chartered senior financial planner and is the owner of Bowden Financial Group. Based on 100 average Americans, upon retirement age, 1% will be well-to-do, 3% will have no estate and will have to keep working, 4% will have income, 92% will be dependent or dead broke. Let Bowden Financial Group be your financial planner. After all, he has assisted thousands of individuals and small businesses over the years. Bowden Financial Group, 770-981-6024. Once again, 770-981-6024. Call now, Bowden Financial Group.
You are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Call us now at area code 347-324-3295. That's 347-324-3295. Or email us your comments at etiquetteladies, ladies plural, at gmail.com. That's etiquetteladies at gmail.com.
Okay, in case you're just joining us, we are speaking with Dr. Tom Keating and Dr. Steve Hodges. This is our pet peeve show. We're talking about bathrooms, the condition of bathrooms, and then the condition of our children if they're not allowed to use the bathroom, to eliminate. Dr. Hodges, I have a message here that says, some children, I think you just touched on this just a moment ago, some children are labeled hyperactive or ADHD, but is there a possibility that this diagnosis could be incorrect and due to the child needing to use the bathroom, maybe acting hyperactive? What's the doctor's comments? This comes from Cheryl from Ohio.
Well, that's a possibility if a child is in a school setting where they're forced to pay attention or sit in a chair and they have to go to the restroom, then it would be very difficult for that child to pay attention. Separately, though, we do know that child with diagnosed ADHD, you know, they have problems with focusing and taking patience. So they're not skilled at responding to their body's signals and going to the bathroom, taking time to completely. So while it's true that a child that needs bathroom access and not given it could be misdiagnosed with ADHD because they're so bothered by their urges that they're not able to focus, it doesn't take away from the fact that children with true ADHD do have a higher instance of toileting issues. And one point I think is a good point to mention is that all teachers want kids to eliminate regularly. I've never seen a teacher that doesn't want their children to go to the bathroom regularly. But what happens, I think, a lot of times is the kids are given a break, and then they don't go, you know, because they're playing or you know, not paying attention. And then later on they want to go, and the teacher's like, well, you had a break. Why didn't you go? And so raising the awareness that this is a health issue, that when you got a break, you got to go. It's important to your health. You got to go to the bathroom. You got to wash your hands. And then to go to the bathroom or have them want to have clean, safe bathrooms. So it's a big picture that we have to bring the level of awareness up about, or the problem will never get better.
And also I noticed that oftentimes, especially in the elementary school setting, as you mentioned, they all go to the restroom pretty much at the same time. But, I mean, realistically, every child may not need to use the bathroom at the same time. So,
That brings up two good points. Number one is they may not need to go, but they may need to go later. And kids don't think to just try, you know, because they go when they're used to feeling like going. So they may not try to go, but they may need to go an hour later. And then you also have a bathroom full of kids that aren't used to just going to the bathroom. They're used to playing around and joking around. And have you ever tried to use the bathroom when someone's joking around right next to you? It's not as easy, is it? So solutions for maybe providing private restrooms or some privacy so children can take care of their business is better than just sending a mob of kids into a restroom that maybe not doesn't have stall doors or maybe doesn't have paper. Odds are none of them are actually going to use the bathroom.
And
Donna, if I could build on that, every middle and high school, as you know, tends to build the bathrooms, even elementary schools, back to back, so the boys' bathroom is right next to the young ladies' bathroom, and that's because there's a common plumbing wall, which is cheaper. But let's suppose you envision a school where the boys were at one end and the girls were at another. Let's imagine that you had two bathrooms, single stall bathrooms, in a library. I've seen them in New Mexico. Let's suppose that you use single stall bathrooms throughout the building, you'd have then a new supervision question. So the security, privacy, health, and the supervision all clash together. But the kids are not involved with coming up with these alternatives. The school system wants to spend less tax dollars because taxpayers are yelling about increased taxes. And the parents and the doctors and the architects and the builders, nobody's in the same room talking together about this issue.
Wow. Great.
Yeah, we notice much less issues in kindergarten, you know, because almost kindergarten classes have a restroom in the classroom. So the kids just get up and go, and they turn the little stop or go sign on the outside of the door, and they can go, and it's private. When the bathrooms get sent outside and it's maybe a distance to go, that's when the problems really become an issue. And so this does become an architecture and a construction cost. Like where there's a lot of schools in England where they're mandating a restroom per classroom.
in the classroom. And that provides greater access, greater privacy, and perhaps less health issues because the children are less inhibited to go. What we need to do is lower the inhibition to go. And we all know that as kids, you know, maybe you had inhibitions to go into the restroom in public, and that gets better as you get older probably, but it could be a lot lower with the right kind of design.
And, Don, if you build on that even further, if you want to keep the doggone boys' room next to the girls' room, when you go in them, as I believe recently you were visiting middle school, why do we have to have doors or stalls that are not flush with the partition on the side walls? Why do we have to have sight lines? Why do we have to have partitions either due to ADA or custom when they're off the floor? Why do we have to have such a training, such a approach that the kids basically are saying, we're watched, we're in the building, so we're going to freak out when we aren't watched? It's like going to college your first year. You're away from mom and dad, and you freak out. The same thing is going on because we watch kids all day long. We guard them. We videotape them. We security and research assert them. Pretty soon we're talking about arming them. We're going to have armed guards in front of a bathroom. It's gotten to the point where not talking about wellness, health, and medicine at all.
Wow. I have a message here. It looks like it's pretty lengthy, but to summarize it, she's saying that in her child's school, in middle school, they have a certain amount of time when they leave the classroom to get back to the classroom. If not, they will not receive an additional restroom pass. Can you talk about that?
I can talk about it very briefly, and I'm sure Dr. Arches can too. I think that's a poor-led school and a poor administrative practice, and I think that it's undercovering some other issue. It's a dilly-dallying. The kids are being mischievous, or there's been a vandalism problem. But I'm not surprised, because every time there's one issue, what we tend to do is rein in the freedom that the kid has instead of teaching him to be a good citizen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, the most common letter I write in my clinic, and every parent leaving asks for it, is a free access to the bathroom letter. You know, doctor's note saying my child gets free access to the bathroom because they do not have enough time. And I don't mean to. I never want to pit myself against the teachers. I just think it's my role as a physician is to optimize their health, and then the school can figure out how to educate them, and you know, there's got to be a way we can come together. And I've tried speaking to school boards and so forth to come up with a better system. And I can't pretend to know the best way to keep track of all these kids, but I do know that you can take a healthy child and make them physically ill by restricting their bathroom privileges, and that's not worth anything. So I write those letters, and I feel bad when I write them because I don't want to be antagonistic towards the schools, but it's the only way I can get children that need it access. Because like you said, if you've got 2 minutes, 5 minutes of class change, and you've got to walk across campus, and you've got to go to the bathroom, you're going to not go to the bathroom because you don't have time, and you're stuck holding it. And that's not fair to anybody. And so I don't know how to keep track of the kids that aren't paying attention or not, or dilly-dallying, like you said, and abusing the rules. But I don't think we should punish the children that really need to go to the restroom with these rules.
I think, Donna, that you know of a school where young ladies were throwing toilet paper into the commodes, and the principal, out of frustration, took away all the toilet paper from the boys and girls. And so what happened? Well, now you're having 7th and 8th graders march to bathrooms by class, and there's a male teacher and a female teacher at the door handing out strips of toilet paper to an 8th grader who can have a baby. And the teachers are demoralized. The kids are ridiculing it. And if the teacher doesn't show up, nothing happens except the kids are playing more. You have to spend time on changing the culture of the school, even when it's that difficult.
Wow. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners are probably scratching their head thinking, you know, we've never even thought about this as being an issue because, I mean, it's just, you know, it's taboo. It's nothing that you hear anyone talking about. And, of course, you know, on this show, you guys may be thinking, if you just joined us, you may be thinking, what does going to the bathroom or not going to the bathroom have to do with etiquette? Well, pretty much everything. It relates to etiquette, but you're talking about being kind to your body. You know, it's so important. We always talk about trying to make sure that, you know, we eat healthy and we exercise. But, of course, you know, the third part of that is to be able to eliminate, and in my opinion, to be able to eliminate freely. Is that correct, Dr. Hodges?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of what Dr. Tom's trying to do is teach good etiquette to the children so they take care of the rest. You know, it's their restroom, so they're not going to maybe vandalize or destroy or put this paper in the sink because they want to be good citizens and keep these bathrooms clean for the next kid that's going to come through. So it all ties together that the more good citizens we have, they're good stewards of their school property, the more access there will be to restrooms because there'll be no issues to deal with. So if we could have good, if we could teach good etiquette and have good citizens that didn't abuse bathroom time and took good care of the restrooms, I think it'd be a lot easier for the administrators to give the children the bathroom time they need.
In light of that,
Don, I just want to mention before we have to leave that part of the reason why Dr. Hodges is here, and we're very grateful to Blog Radio and your program, What is Etiquette Anyway? Tomorrow night at Decatur DeKalb Library on Sycamore Street, right by the Decatur MARTA station, from 7 to 8, Dr. Hodges will be talking about the four E's of environment and eating, exercising, and eliminating. And this affects, these issues affect even disproportionately minority populations. So he's going to tie, if you will, a health triangle together. What happens with early childhood body training, what happens with school restrooms, and what happens with the environment, both socially set up by some of our conditions and the physical aspects of some of our environment. And so we invite anybody from 7 to 8 for a free program, free parking, free refreshments to come out to the wonderful program.
Yes. And Dr. Hodges, I have a quick message here. It says, please speak about potty training. What is the overall age that a child should be fully potty trained?
Yeah, so this is a very controversial and complex topic, and we can definitely address this tomorrow night as well. There are two different philosophies of potty training. One is child-led or child-centered, and one is parent-led or parent-centered. I'm a big believer in child-centered potty training, basically when they're ready to go. They'll do it, and that is usually after the age of three. Now, if you have a child that's after four and still not being able to go, there's usually underlying conditions, typically constipation, preventing that, so you should see a physician about that. But I do not recommend pushing it before the age of three. There's a whole other field of thought that's parent-centered that or parent-led where they push children earlier to go, such as the elimination communication theory and so forth, and I don't like to dogmatically push one way or the other, but I'm a big proponent of delaying toilet training till after three because most of the issues I see in my clinic are due to children holding too much, either pee or poop, and they don't do that as much when they're in diapers. So early training to me is detrimental to bladder and bowel development, and I do not recommend it.
Okay, and child-led, that's the key, right?
Child-led, yeah. Toilet training is almost a physiologic process like sleeping. That if you just leave them long enough, they'll eventually get it. And if you push it too early and they get constipated, it can be a mess. And we get in detail on that in the book, and we'll talk about it some more tomorrow night.
Wow. And again, if you're just listening, there's an event tomorrow, and it is at, Tom, I couldn't hear you as well, at 7
sure,
p.m., is that correct?
It's at the Decatur Library on Sycamore Street in downtown Decatur from 7 to 8 p.m. tomorrow evening.
Okay, and listeners, this is a free event, so you want to certainly be there before 7 p.m. so you can get a good seat. You might want to bring a notepad and something to write with, because I know there's going to be an opportunity to take a lot of notes. This is really great because, I mean, like, you know, we said, and this is, how many different programs have you heard this topic discussed? I can't say that I've heard any. You know, this is just a topic that is not really talked about. A lot of parents, of course, until now, were not aware that there are even issues in the school restroom. Unless you're a parent and you go into the restroom, then you really don't know. So now you want to, you know, we're hoping that we certainly raised your conscience about going in and inquiring. And as Dr. Tom said, don't just ask a general question to your children stating, you know, did you use the bathroom today or what does the bathroom look like? But, you know, be specific. You know, was there paper? Was there, you know, what's the condition? Can you close the door? Do you have privacy in the restrooms? And, of course, you know, and talking about being good citizens on, you know, the other side with the bathroom etiquette is just making sure you even tell your children, you know, when you use the bathroom, don't try to flush the entire roll down the toilet. I mean, we see that so much and that happens so frequently. Don't know why, because it's not going to, it's not going to flush. And then quite naturally, when you wash your hands, you take your paper towel and you simply throw it into the trash can. Don't throw it on the floor and say, well, you know, it doesn't matter because the janitor, that's his job. Well, no, it's really not his job to clean up after you. It's your job to clean up after yourself. And that's keeping, you know, you all keep your restrooms, you know, nice and clean so that it is inviting to go into when you have to use it. So that's very important. Well, Dr. Hodges, do you have any additional comments that you would like to make, or some of the things that you may continue to see in your practice that, say, parents, you know, just may not be aware of? And I'm sure, now, I was unaware of the free access letter. This is the first time I've heard of that. That is really interesting. So, you know, if you're having to write those letters, then obviously there is an issue and a reason to do so. So that's interesting.
Yeah, I think the main message I want to put out is that most potty problems, we call them, such as urinary tract infections or constipation or accidents, whether it be incontinent of urine or incontinence of stool or poop, tend to get dismissed in children as a behavioral issue. And a lot of the kids I see end up getting sent to a psychologist. These are real problems. They're not phases that kids are going through, and they can be made better with the right therapy, which we detail specifically in the book. So if you have a child, even if they just toilet trained and they're having accidents of poop or pee, do not ignore it. Or if they're having urinary tract infections, these are not normal conditions. These are signs that there's something going on. So we cover this in detail in our book, It's No Accident, and we have the website itsnoaccident.net. But conversely, you know, I encourage parents that have children with these issues to seek care from their pediatrician and perhaps see a pediatric urologist, because these problems can be made better, and there's really no reason to ignore them.
Well, this has been really a great program. We've had great information, and, you know, listeners, please, if you have, even if you don't have children, you have nieces or nephews or grandchildren or friends that have children, please make them aware and share this information. If you are in the Atlanta area, you certainly want to attend this event on tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the Decatur Library. Get there a little bit early. To make sure that you can get a good seat. Lots of great information. Dr. Hodges will be speaking. He'll also be talking about some of the things that are in his book, which is called It's No Accident. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great, great. Well, I thank you both again for joining us, Dr. Tom Keating, who's definitely not a stranger to our audience, and Dr. Hodges, we certainly appreciate your time. I know the event will be great on tomorrow. And we never like to end our show without taking a look at kindness.
Now it's time for Random Acts of Kindness.
Our random act of kindness this week comes from Patricia Walker, and she's from, looks like, New England. I noticed there was no tissue in the bathroom at my child's school, so a few parents and myself purchased tissue on a weekly basis. This is our act of kindness. Wow, Patricia, we thank you so much for that. And, you know, we're finding out that, you know, some of these bathrooms do not have tissues or paper towels. And as Dr. Tom was just saying, you know, just a few minutes ago, there is a school that has been in on a, you know, recently, about a week ago, and there was no tissue in the school, but instead the teachers kind of stand at the bathroom door and they hand out tissue as the kids go inside. So if you don't know what's going on in your schools, you might want to check it out just to see, to make sure that, you know, our children are you know, they are experiencing hygienic conditions in the schools that will make learning just, you know, it's just really incredible because you just don't think about this kind of thing. So if your kids are squirming and when they run through the door and they're having to use the bathroom, that's a great time. It's a teaching moment to talk to these children about and find out exactly what the behavior is at school and if they are actually going to the bathroom, and if not, is it because they're in a deplorable condition? Well, gosh, thanks so much again for listening to our show and spending part of your Sunday evening with us. Thank you for supporting us. Everyone who sent us a message, we appreciate that. Those joining us for the first time, and of course, our loyal listeners who tune in each week. We are so glad that you are a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. Be sure to tell your friends and family about our show. Invite them to listen as well. After all, our goal is to make the world a polite place to live. And remember, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Wipe them deep within your heart. And as we tell you each and every week, please remember to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Okay? Thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk again next week. Good night, take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway? The talk show. Don't forget to initiate a random act of kindness this week. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next week when we'll discuss another exciting topic.